what is wrong with believers? Are they bewitched? Or what is wrong that they just can't see that something is wrong? But that's it. I'll be back. Let's play this song and I'll connect again with you.
His strength is
perfect. We need him in these times of difficult times in the world, turbulent days and times we find ourselves in. All right, so welcome back. Issues of Life is the program. I'm Eben, and from now to 9 p.m. I'll be with you. First, we go through some of the news, and this evening I just saw this one. Russia and China to dispatch warships near Japan's waters. You know, Japan is an ally of the U.S. and the alliances that Russia is pulling is just obvious that we are the point where World War III can just play out, because Russia, last week I talked of Russia, North Korea alliance, and then there's one I'm coming to read as well this evening. But the next news is Putin is revising Russia's nuclear doctrine and could reduce decision-making time required to use nuclear weapons. I mean, this is a big one because, you know, I think there's a sequence of procedures before the decision is made to use nuclear weapons. But to shorten it means, you know, and they've been testing, they've been doing drills, and nuclear is not something that is just child's play. So, you know, he's giving some threats recent times. He's warning NATO and all. If they misbehave, if Russia feels threatened, they may be forced to use it. And obviously, if you look at the whole Ukraine war and the genesis of it, because the NATO map prior to, you know, previous years during Bill Clinton, Bush, and all that, NATO, the border of NATO and Russia, there was a gap. Other countries, there was a buffer zone. And now countries next to Russia have all joined NATO. And this is where the problem is. And so, you know, Russia feels threatened. And this warning is quite worrying, especially what's happening in Ukraine. And the decision now by the NATO that they even want to, they've started sending missiles that can reach mainland Russia. And there's one decision I saw this week that if the U.S. is to take it, it's even going to be a big one, because they now want to, they are considering sending military contractors, that's how they call them, the U.S., where they are not soldiers per se, but military contractors who would help train Ukraine, some of the missiles, and fix the missiles and all that, the equipment that the U.S. has delivered to Ukraine. And obviously, you know, these are not things Russia will take lightly at all. So, well, we just watch and see and pray. Then, Russia to sign new pact with Iran in very near future. They just signed one with Korea, North Korea. And you just heard what I said about the China. They and China, Russia and China are already on very good terms. So, you know, it's an axis of four, a squad of four: Russia, North Korea, China, and then Iran. And these nations are a big deal to handle. And that's it. So we have the next one. Israel readies their troops for potential escalation in Lebanon. And people are worried about this because, you know, when Hezbollah is engaged in a war with Russia, with Israel, it's going to be far different than it was with Gaza and Hamas, because Hezbollah is well grounded with more missiles. You know, the last count they were making boost of 150,000 missiles, and they are directly, you know, supported by Iran and all. So it's not going to be as simple as it is, because U.S. intelligence reports recently that leaked are even worried about, you know, that the Israeli defense systems can be overwhelmed and all that. So that's the worry now, because even the Israeli prime minister has said that, well, they are scaling down on the Gaza one and now going to concentrate on the northern Israel one, which is, has to do with the with Hezbollah, and that's quite a risky game, you know. But well, we just hope and see and watch how things play out. But so far as the Lord is concerned, Israel, they are banking their hopes on their intelligence and their equipment, and then God's protection and help as well. And well, that's it. Okay, so this next one. UN warns of catastrophic threat to region, that's Middle East, if Israel-Hezbollah fighting escalates. So the UN on Tuesday expressed serious concerns about the risk of an escalation in the fighting between Israel and Hezbollah, warning that not only would it cause even more suffering and devastation to the people of Lebanon and Israel, but also more potentially catastrophic consequences for the region. Tor Wennesland, the UN Special Coordinator for the Middle East, urged both sides to take urgent and immediate steps to de-escalate the situation. Tensions along the border between Israel and Lebanon continue to escalate. Cross-border exchanges of fire have increased in recent weeks, prompting UN Security General, Secretary General Antonio Guterres to warn that the risk of conflict spreading to the wider region is real and must be avoided. And indeed, every day there are attacks coming and all that. There's this group, an Israeli group, and they give real-time updates of things happening. Just this evening they've sent activity in Shadjaiva, rocket launcher found near school and clinic, and then all that. So there are always attacks, things are always happening, the military is always busy, and you know, so that's how volatile the Israel Middle East issues are, you know. And it can escalate into something beyond these countries. That's the worry for the rest of the world, just as the UN Secretary General or the UN is saying. And then there was a terror attack in Russia. So Russia opens terror probe after attacks on synagogues and Orthodox churches. Priests and police officers were also killed. So gunmen opened fire on two synagogues and two Orthodox churches in the police post in Russia's North Caucasus region of the Dagestan on Sunday. The investigative committee of the Russian Federation opened the terrorism investigation in response to the armed attacks in Derbent and Makhachkala, as a result of which police officers and civilians were killed and injured, according to the agency's Telegram page. So as for terrorism, it's always on. Then this one says, illegal Christian activities. Iran sentences tourists to 10 years in prison for, and you can guess, this one is just outrageous, for possessing New Testament. Come on, 10 years for owning a New Testament. Sometimes you just wonder. An Armenian civilian has been sentenced to a decade in prison in Iran under accusations of proselytizing, which is considered illegal under the country's strict religious laws. His conviction was not based on evidence, but on the judge's personal intuition. How can you have a fair trial if the judge just feels like, per the Islamic Penal Code of Iran, which permits judicial decisions on mere suspicions or superpositions of criminal activities? Hapop Kojiam was sentenced earlier this month despite no clear evidence, according to the Catholic outlet Asia News. It goes on to say that along he was with the wife, they were arrested during their vacation in Iran in August 2023, according to Christian organization Barnabas Aid. The couple was dining with their children at a friend's house in Pardis near Tehran when intelligence agents raided the home, detaining all the adults and confiscating several Farsi language New Testaments and other Christian literature. The couple's two children, ages 7 and 10, were with them and left with Shakdian's aunt following the arrest. The U.S.-based persecution watchdog ICC said, International Christian Concern said. Following the raid, the couple they were transported to Evin prison, notorious for its harsh conditions, where they were reportedly placed in solitary confinement and subjected to severe psychological torture. Shavdian, who is of Iranian descent with family connections in Iran, was released on bail 2 months later in October 2023. However, Hakop remained in custody, facing charges of engaging in deviant proselytizing activity that contradicts the sacred law of Islam through his involvement in the network of evangelical Christianity, a charge to which he has consistently pleaded not guilty. Shavdian, the daughter of the Iranian-Armenian pastor Rafi Shavdian, told the watchdog group Article 18 in December that intelligence agents had accused them of engaging in illegal Christian activities. During Hakop's trial, which culminated in the sentencing on February 2024, his attorney highlighted the absence of concrete evidence supporting the accusations. The lawyer argued that the decision was improperly influenced by Article 160 of Iran's Islamic Penal Code, allowing judges to rely on their intuition rather than on actual factual proof. Hakop's appeal failed in June, confirming his 10-year sentence. Iran's historic Christian minorities, such as the Armenians and Assyrians, are legally permitted to practice Christianity. However, the law strictly prohibits evangelism, particularly among the Muslim majority and any Farsi-speaking communities. The restriction includes the dissemination of Christian material, such as Bibles in Farsi, and activities deemed as attempts to convert Muslims to Christianity. ICC noted that despite over four decades of severe restrictions and outright persecution, Christianity is experiencing significant growth in Iran. For more than 40 years, the Iranian regime has persecuted Iranian Christians through banning Farsi language Bibles, imprisoning church leaders, and falsely accusing converts to Christianity as national security threats, an ICC representative said. But through it all, God is working a miracle, and the underground Iranian church continues to grow rapidly. And that one is one of the, I mean, if you follow the persecution reports and all that, Iran is one of the, I mean, the growth of Christianity is really amazing. And they are getting internet, using internet and satellites to follow, I mean, Christian ministries elsewhere and all that. And that's a good thing. So though persecution is rife and high, but behind the scenes, God is also moving. You know, people are also having dreams and they are converting to Christ. You know, Muslims dreaming about Jesus and they being directed to, you know, safe places, safe underground churches to contact, to be saved, I mean, prayed and all that. So it's a wonder, I mean, how God does these things. You know, that's the amazing part of this whole thing. And then the next one, Iran sentences Christian converts to more than 25 years in prison. So five converts to Christianity have been sentenced by the Iranian judiciary to a collective of more than 25 years in prison, according to a report from Iran International. Hengal, an organization reporting on human rights violations against Kurds in Iran, stated here has that there has been no reason given for the charges against the five Christians. Hamid Afzazi was sentenced to 10 years behind bars, followed by the other four, each of whom were sentenced to 5 years. Zograb, who received 9 months sentence, according to the Jerusalem Post. You know, to be a Christian in some places is amazing. It's difficult. It's a real test of faith. You know, it's when I read these reports, the question that comes to mind is, but some claim that we serve the same God. If we serve the same God as some claim, then why should you persecute someone if he is also serving the same God you claim we all serve? If someone is serving the other God, the same God through another means, why should that be your problem? And why should you persecute and kill and punish and imprison and beat and all that? I mean, this is fundamental, and that should raise the question in people's minds that then we do not serve the same God. Because if it's the same God, then there should have been, you know, a common place of understanding. And this is where sometimes I feel amazed when I see and hear some Christians make statements, including some pastors, oh, we serve the same God, we serve the same God. Come on, we do not serve the same God. And these news, I mean, are obvious. And that's the truth. I mean, we do not. Because our God has a son, their God has no son. So clearly, it cannot be the same. So when they keep trumpeting, we serve the same God, it means someone is lying somewhere. And that's how the game is played, you know. They know how to say some things at the right time, you know. And that's it. I just hope Christians will be more discerning in times like this. Okay, so the next one. 6 Christians, including a pastor, arrested in Laos while preparing for church service. So village officials in central Laos on Saturday arrested a pastor and 5 other Christians as they prayed in preparation for worship services the next day, according to a rights watchdog. Tahe village authorities arrested the church leader, identified only as Pastor Mam, and the other Christians in Tahe village. And according to the report, the arrest took place on Saturday, and whilst they were meeting and having a prayer meeting preparing for the next that Sunday morning with church service. And they are currently being imprisoned in a district police cells. You know, it's difficult to be Christian somewhere. We have it freely available, at ease. I mean, and we don't cherish what we have largely, but it's a difficult thing for some people elsewhere to really stand as a Christian. It's difficult. Then we go to Uganda, where Baptist evangelist tied down with ropes and killed by Muslim extremists in Uganda. An evangelist who had received death threats from Muslim extremists was killed after leading Muslims and others to Christ in eastern Uganda, according to sources. The body of evangelist Richard Malinga was found in the evening at Kayet Swamp in a village in the Butebo district after he had tested his pastor. He sent a text to his pastor that he was surrounded by Muslims, according to sources. A Baptist church in Palisa district had sent him to visit homes and share the gospel. His pastor said he left his home in Palisa district the morning of June 17th to share about Christ in the district. Several people put their faith in Christ, including some radical Muslims, according to the senior pastor. The evening of 17th, I received a short message from Malinga of being surrounded by Muslims, said the pastor, whose name is withheld for security reasons. I wrote back to him several times, but there was no response. Malinga had been receiving threatening messages from extremists in various areas. And then, according to one person said, I heard a loud wailing at around 7:30 p.m. on the main road between Mutebo and Aludot village near the Kayet Swamp. So a village situated in the area said, a villager said the residents being on condition of anonymity, said we dashed to the scene and found the victim in a pool of blood. We found the victim dead and tied with ropes. So searching for his identity, they found his phone and messages from the pastor whom they called. Interesting times. But these are the things the Bible says will happen to Christians, believers, the hatred against those of the faith. So when you hear these things, and as much as it's painful, distressing and so on, all that, when we have to assess it from the spiritual side, this same person is a hero in the sight of God, you know, and that's how these things are. Okay, we go to Ireland, where they have a hate speech law under consideration And it's bad because they really, really want to. You know, what amazes me about these liberals and these anti-so-called free speech governments is like, why do they hate truth? Why do they hate people expressing their opinions? It's like they want to suppress the truth. They want to control. They want to, you know. And now they are two popular words: misinformation and disinformation. You know, these two words became more. It became more obvious in the usage. COVID and all that, COVID and post-COVID and vaccine issues and all that. And it's like the truth should not be said. The truth should be withheld. So as the Irish Parliament deliberates on contentious hate speech bill, international best-selling author Michael Schellenberger joined Global Voices last week to raise alarm over the potential global repercussions of the legislation. Schellenberger, known for his investigative work on the Twitter files, starkly criticized the bill at the Irish Parliament and the Ireland Free Speech Summit, suggesting it could censor the entire internet. The proposed legislation, debated intensely in Ireland, includes severe penalties for possessing material deemed capable of inciting hatred, quote-unquote hatred. According to the legal advocacy group ADF International, which notes that offenders could face up to 5 years in prison. Moreover, the bill extends its reach to social media, holding accountable directors and executives of platforms with international headquarters in Ireland, such as X, former Twitter, and then Facebook, for hosting anything that could be deemed as hate speech. Deemed as. And who determines this is somebody's feeling? Somebody can just decide this is hate speech, so that means it's a crime. I mean, that's the absurdity of this thing. So, speaking at the Irish Parliament, Schellenberger warned against the bill's potential to stifle free discussions. The world is watching Ireland. The censorial hate speech bill, if passed, would not only shut down conversation nationally as the home of various international social media headquarters, it would have a global impact on what we can all discuss online. He was quoted as saying, quote, a sweeping ban on undefined hate gives authorities the power to determine which viewpoints are acceptable to voice. World history warns us that such power can be easily abused, unquote. The legislation does not clearly define what constitutes hate, leaving it to the authorities' discretion. I mean, how can this be? To decide which viewpoints are permissible. This vagueness has spared significant concern among various stakeholders, including legal experts, free speech advocates, and the public. In a debate in the Senate recently, Irish Green Party Senator Paul O'Reilly sought to justify the proposed law. And quote, he says, if a person's views on other people's identities make their lives unsafe and insecure and cause them such deep discomfort that they cannot live in peace, our job as legislators is to restrict those freedoms for the common good, unquote. The Telegraph quoted her as saying, one cannot do and say whatever one likes in our society. However, a recent national poll commissioned by ADF International and conducted by Whitestone Insights revealed that 25% of Irish citizens feel that their free speech rights are being eroded, with 90% affirming that free speech is very important to them. Schellenberger also spoke at the Free Speech Summit in Dublin, where various other speakers, including Irish barrister Lucan Price and independent senators, criticized the bill's potential to induce a chilling effect on free expression. At least we finish with this quick last good news. Oklahoma State Superintendent announces all schools must incorporate the Bible and the Ten Commandments in curriculums. At least that's one good one there. And you can hear, by all means, the liberals will be marching to the court soon. You know, when you read these things and you see some of the news, how the liberals are just, they just hate people to express their views. But ultimately, the main group be, I mean, instigating or behind this, the reason why, sorry, these hate speech laws and restrictions of freedom of speech and all these things is because of us Christians. They just make it like a bit more of a blanket thing, oh, freedom, hate speech, and what, hate crime. But the main people, the reason why they are pushing these things is because of Christians. Because it's Christians who they say we are judgmental, because we say the LGBT lifestyle is a sin from our Bible. So with the law being proposed in Ireland, to own a Bible and to quote a verse from it makes the crime. Because there's any material that is deemed as a hate material, I mean, so the Bible then can be classified as a hate document, because the Bible has verses against sinful lifestyles. So to say that this lifestyle is a sin based on this verse in the Bible means the Bible is a hate speech material, or it's a hate material. That's where we are headed. Eventually we'll get there. I mean, eventually the world will evolve to that point where the Bible will become, you know, something. I mean, a contraband material, because it will be deemed as a hate book. It promotes hate, because it's addressing lifestyles when the people are not comfortable with those lifestyles and all that. But that's the world we live in, and believers have to understand the times we are in. All right, I'll be back after this brief song.
No glory on my own, yet in Shami, I have some questions for you.
Yes, my son, bare your soul. Open your mind that I might enlighten you with my wisdom.
Yeah. Well, I was reading in the Bible.
You what?
I was reading the Bible.
Don't do that! You need inner wisdom, like myself, to decipher it. It's just too complicated.
Well, actually, I found its message quite simple.
No, you just read the simple part. It takes years to understand the Bible. Here, read my book.
Programming your VCR?
No, the other side.
Knowing God the Shami way?
That's Shami, and what I say there is truth.
Now, wait a minute. Why should I believe you? Have you ever healed a blind, walked on water, or raised the dead?
You think I'm God? Of course not.
Well, Jesus did. He performed incredible miracles that no one in history has ever done. We have reason to trust him.
I knew it. I knew this would happen. Already, you're confused.
I don't feel confused.
Of course not. You haven't read my book yet.
Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio at lifelinepro.com.
Help! This man needs help!
Step aside. I'm a doctor. What seems to be the problem?
I think he's having a heart attack.
Okay, it appears this man is still breathing, which means he still has a heartbeat. I'm unable to help him until he stops breathing and his heart ceases to beat.
Are you sure?
Of course I'm sure. I'm a doctor.
You would never trust your health to someone who merely claimed to be an expert. We require proof that they know what they're talking about.
Is his heart still beating?
Yeah.
Then let's give him a few more minutes.
Are you sure you're a doctor?
I took an intensive 8-hour course on culinary resuscitation.
That doesn't make you a doctor.
Have you ever breathed the breath of life into a lifeless body?
No, have you?
Well, no, not yet. Give me a minute.
Yet when it comes to spiritual matters, people listen to many self-proclaimed experts. Jesus rose from the dead to prove his authority. Who are you following, and have they risen from the dead? Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio at lifelinepro.com.
Oh, I love this one. I mean, okay, so welcome back to Spirit 88.3 FM. The program is Issues of Life. I'm Eben, and okay. All right, so we've been on this series of Beware of the Deception and how to counter it, how to prevent ourselves from being victims of deception. You know, it's amazing how things are going in the body of Christ, and the things we keep hearing, pastors making all sorts of claims and, you know, statements, which sometimes you just, it's amazing because it's exactly opposite what the Bible says. And yet they say it and people see nothing wrong with it. Their followers is like, whoa, this is deep. And it's like, what can be deep when it's exactly opposite to what the Bible says? A complete error, a complete lie, miss whatever information or disinformation, whatever you call it. And yet people call it deep, deep revelation. I mean, what is deep about it? And why are we so fixated with, it's like Christians, I mean, deep things, they want, I mean, come on. But then it's sad because if we don't protect ourselves, we may fall victims to some of these things. So we've been, this is the eighth key we are going to discuss this evening. The first was, you know, beware of how we trust people or man, put our trust in any man, we should beware. And then we should be Bible students, like reading, studying the Bible ourselves. We should have discernment. We should have the Holy Spirit, also known the Spirit of Truth, to help us. Then we need wisdom. Then the second point, desire to grow spiritually. And then the seventh, last week, must have, what we must have is the mindset to be resolute in our beliefs. We know that this is the truth we are believing, and we are not going to shake ourselves or to be shaken when we hear contrary, you know, deceiving things and all that. So this evening we are looking at, we should look out for the deceivers. We should look out for the deceivers. You know, let's just look at a scenario. You walk to KJTR, and we all know KJTR. I mean, if you lose your guard, your wallet or your phone can just, you know, find its way in a different place. And you have a lot of money on you, you are going to buy something. Unless you are a novice, you just don't know Kumasi, you are just, I mean, you just came, you don't know. But anyone who has been around for some time is very careful how they will handle their valuables. I know one person listening this evening, his phone Brother Ben, good evening. You know, it's amazing. Those the people, especially in the evening, there is even more. They will finish you right now. And so, see, when you are in such a zone, you are alert and you are watchful. And that's exactly what Jesus warned us in Matthew 24 when he started in verse 4 and 5. He says that, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceives you. Take heed. Take heed no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying I'm Christ, and shall deceive many. So if you have this warning, you are going to KJT. Somebody says, hey, show you. That means take heed. You are going to a dangerous zone where if you close your eyes, by the time you open, you are gone. They finish with you. That's exactly what Jesus, the advance warning he gave us. For we in these times, that we should take heed. So we should be alert for the deceivers. We should look out for the deceivers, because he says they are going to come. They are going to come, because he goes on further. 24:11, 24:24. He gave this advance note that the deceivers are coming. They will come. These are prophecies which will not change. It will happen. The only part of that prophecy that we can do something about is, you see, the prophecy says that many will be deceived. So the only part of that prophecy we can avoid being is being part of the fulfillment of the many who will be deceived. But as for the deceivers, the many deceivers and the many false prophets, and who will come, they will come. They are going to come. But we can exclude ourselves from being among the many to be deceived and be among the few who will not be deceived. And that's the essence of this discussion, this series I'm on now. You see, so we should look out for them, because we know that this is the season. We are in a season, a red zone, where the deceivers are coming up. They've been there all along, but now they are, you know, becoming more aggressive, and the deadlier ones are even yet to come. And if we have this foreknowledge that we are in a season where deception is going to be at the highest level, to the point where if you are not careful, you can be deceived, you should be on the lookout for them. You just cannot allow anything to just pass, anything careless, anything goes. You have Christians who are just careless. They don't care who prays for them, who lays hands on them. Anywhere they will go, any hole, they will go there. Oh, this pastor is here. Oh, let's go. This prophet is here. Let's anywhere. It's like they just move. They have no discernment. They have no wisdom. They have the various things we've talked about. Nothing. They just float like a balloon. The wind blows left to move them to the right. It blows to the right. They are just moving without having any sense of carefulness or watchfulness or being alert or be taking heed, as Jesus said, take heed. So we should know that they are the deceivers are out there. So if you are working at KJT, for instance, and you are taking heed, you move through the zone safely without losing your phone or your money or your bag or wallet or whatever. When you move out of the place, it didn't mean the pickpockets or the thieves were not there. They were there. But you were alert to protect yourself from being a victim. And that's how it is in this season we are in. If you take heed and follow exactly what Jesus said that we should take heed, so you are also taking heed and applying all the other principles in the Bible, you know, being a Bible, studying the Bible yourself, being prayerful and all, following the Holy Spirit, discernment. If you do these things and you take heed and you continue to take heed, you'll be able to escape the deceivers. But the deceivers, they'll be there. Those who allow themselves to be deceived will be deceived, as we are seeing. People are being deceived because they have allowed themselves to be deceived. Because when you hear some things being said, and then the next Sunday, people still go and sit in those churches, then you ask yourself, what's wrong with these people? But it's a choice. They don't see anything wrong with it. So they keep going to their place, and they will keep being deceived. They will keep being deceived. But the one who is watchful and is taking heed and is identifying, looking out for the pickpockets, the spiritual pickpockets who want to take your salvation away from you, you'll be alert and be careful. you will be alert and be careful. You know, this friend who lost his phone at that KJT zone in the evening, he was driving his car and the mirror, you know, the windows were down a bit. So that trick that you do, they distract your attention, distract you. So one is talking to you on the left. So whilst you are looking at the left, then the one on the right picks the phone from the car seat and all that. That's what happened to him. And that's where it's like taking heed. He wasn't taking heed because he didn't know that was one of the modus operandi, in that area. He didn't know. But now that he knows, for instance, I can really say for sure, anytime if he's to drive through that zone in the night or even during the day, he will roll up. That's taking heed, protecting yourself, preventing anything. You see, so as we are seeing others falling victims, you don't wait to also be a victim to learn from it. You take heed. In his case, he fell victim, but he has learned from it. He won't repeat it. I have not lost my phone in that circumstance, in that area, but I've learned an advance warning from what happened to him, that if I should be in that zone in such a circumstance, I will not have my windows down for somebody to come and trick me left, look left, and then no, I'll take heed. And that's how it is with what Jesus told us, or is telling us, we should take heed, because the deceivers will come and they are around. But if we don't take heed, they will take advantage, undue advantage of our not taking heed, our being careless, and it will be to their advantage, because then they have a soul. You see, when you read Ephesians 4:14, last week I read it as well, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. The deceivers, they are, it's like they've set a trap waiting for you to come and fall in. They lie in wait to deceive. They know the agenda they are pursuing. They have their mission. They have their purpose. They have their mandate. So they are waiting to deceive the ignorant ones. They are waiting to deceive the gullible ones. You know, yesterday, those on my broadcast list, I shared this church in Brazil where they are selling a plot of land. No. A square meter of land in heaven for $100. Square meter of land in heaven. You heard me right. Heaven, yes. Heaven gold. This one, if you get it, it will be very good for Galamsey, because the gold is pure one. Heaven land being sold in church, and people, you know, sometimes you know one bishop friend in Accra, I sent it to him, and he said, so is it real, or it's like somebody's just making it's a church in Brazil? And you see, this is how gullible sometimes believers can be, that they just believe anything a pastor says. So because, yes, this is your spiritual leader, but if he tells you that 1 meter of land in heaven, so if you want an acre, this generation, no. And people fall for these things. $100 for a square meter. And square meter, they're even just like the Momo kiosk. You know, so if you want a mansion, then you have to foot about $10,000 to get land enough for mansion. But what does the Bible say? Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. He didn't say you have to invest. And one pastor friend yesterday asked, so who is the estate agent who is taking the monies on behalf of God? You know, but this is what is happening. People are so gullible, anything. How can your pastor tell you pay money to prepare for heaven, $100 per square meter? So based on how big you want your mansion land to be, you pay based on that. And then you believe it, they're giving the payment options, the card, PayPal, and all that. And people fall for it. No, you are a Christian. A pastor, your pastor or whoever, a pastor tells you, whether TV, radio, whatever, that this is the blood of Jesus, so pay this amount to get the blood of Jesus. This is water from River Jordan or something, so pay this amount so that you have it in a bottle in your home. And you know, and people are falling for these things. You know, it's sad, because the obvious thing is people are not ready to, they are not learning from history, one, and they are not learning from others' predicaments. They falling for this prey and all that. People refuse to, you know. I like a statement someone made recently that, yes, we are Christians, we walk by faith, we live by faith and all that, but we should not leave our brains behind. The brain that we have, the thinking abilities, we shouldn't leave it behind in the name of faith, in the name of trust of a man of God, in the name of, I mean, we are spiritual, or I'm in the spirit, I'm whatever. We shouldn't leave our brains behind. Because how can you be told to pay money for land in heaven and you believe it? Come on. I mean, so if so, I mean, that's good. Then why didn't, because the, according to the pastor, it's God who asked him to. Oh, no. You see, and people believed it. And this is how, if you are in such a church and you are taking heed, you are watching out for the deception or for the deceivers. As soon as he says this, you know that, red, this is a complete red light, red flag event. You know that, no, this place, that is it. Next week, I won't come here again. But the next Sunday, people will still go and sit at the same place again and even take people to join. You see, so we should be alert. We should look out for the deceivers. Because if you are looking out for them, you will see them. Oh, yes. I mean, it's like, because I'm alert about some of these things by the grace of God, when I see even the title of the sermon on YouTube, for instance, you see it and it's like, and wow, you open it. And then indeed, you are not disappointed, because it's exactly what you suspected. And you know, you see, so you if you are looking out for the deceivers, you will find them, you will spot them, you know, when you walk through KJTI area, you can, if you really are a bit alert, you can see the pickpockets. You see them following somebody, and when the person holds the bag in the way, then they turn and then they look as if somebody is looking at them. You know, you can see them. If you look out for the deceivers, you will find them and you will see them. So if we don't look out for them and we are not finding them, it means, well, we can be victims, because you are not alert. Because if you are not alert, you'll be surprised. They will take you by surprise. So we should be alert, looking out for them, knowing that they can come and they are around. So as soon as, like the way animals sniff food, or how lions will sniff antelopes and all that several miles away and all that. That's how we should be alert, to the point where we know they are coming. As soon as you spot them, hey, this one, away. As soon as you smell them, quote unquote, smell them away from a distance, you just advise yourself. Because you see, the telltale signs are obvious. You see, there are the advanced group, who those people, sometimes it's just the grace of God and the discernment and the Holy Spirit that can really let you know that something is wrong. But we are just addressing the general common ones, which basic knowledge, basic wisdom, discernment, all these things should be able to help us identify them. It should be able to help us. So when you see the person is making unnecessary, the lies, twisting scriptures, saying all sorts of things which are exactly completely opposite what the scriptures, the Bible says, and yet they say it and they go free, they say it and people are clapping, they say it and people are saying it's deep, and people are saying wow, and it's like, what? So the people who are saying wow, recently I saw one video like that, and the pastor, what the pastor was saying, completely off off. And the cameraman puts the camera on somebody who was writing notes, and it was the comments that really excited me, because people were saying so, and I like the way that a lot of discerning Christians were commenting, hey, but this one, no, this doctrine and all. So they were really bashing the pastor for, you know, the twisted things, the lies and all, the misinterpretation and all that. But people were saying, so this man, this guy who was writing notes, what is he writing? What that the pastor is saying, it's off. I mean, you can, how do you say that Jesus was not the creation? Jesus was not part of the creation. Jesus didn't create. When the Bible is clear about these things, it's not so. It's like there are verses which exactly states A, B, C, and yet you hear a pastor who so-called deep revelation who say that no, it's not A, B, C, and people. So now we have men of God who some make themselves more knowledgeable than even the inspired writers of the Bible, that they know better than the inspired writers of the Bible, because they have a deeper revelation than even the one who wrote those books. So they are correcting whatever was written. So it's no wonder when you have someone who say that Paul made mistakes and all that, you know. And people defend it. I mean, to tell me Paul made mistakes? Come on. So, I mean, is it that we don't believe that the Bible is an inspired by the Holy Spirit? So to say Paul made mistakes, that means you are saying that the Holy Spirit made mistakes. And you see, they say these things and people still follow them. You see, so this is where the problem is. People are taking a posture as if, oh, it doesn't matter. But you see, when it comes to slow poisoning, that's how dangerous it is. A little drop at a time. Slow poisoning. I mean, I read some time back of someone who, like, you know, they wanted to kill and all that, and to kill him instantly would really arouse, you know, to be seen directly and all that. So they resorted to killing him slowly. So a little at a time, a little drop at a time in the food, a little, over a period of time. So by the time it became extremely serious, you know, the poison had caused a lot of damage in his internal systems. So no medicine, no medical means can help you. It's too late. And that's how we should see some of these dangerous doctrines and heretics parading as preachers, saying all sorts of things opposite the Bible and all. We shouldn't just downplay it as it doesn't matter. It matters. You see, he will preach the falsehood today, and for the next 2, 3, 4, 5 months, he will preach correct. You see, so that's why some fall, it's okay. And then he will drop another bomb again. Then he will preach correct again. Then you see, but you are being killed spiritually slowly. You are being poisoned slowly. That's how powerful deception can be. So we shouldn't take lightly these outrageous deceivers out there. We shouldn't take it lightly. That it doesn't matter. It matters. It matters. And I believe as we are on the lookout for them, we really are busy looking out for them, as soon as they cross our path, we know that red flag, so that we'll not fall into the trap. If we do these things, it will help us, because for the deceivers, they are around. And I keep saying, the ones we have around now are KG teachers. The real professors are ahead of us, and if we can't even protect ourselves from the KG teachers, deceivers, then when the professors come, can we stand their deception? Think about it. You see, that's why we should. You see, we have to build our capacity now. We have to be grounded in the word now, applying all the scriptures, the guides the Holy Spirit is leading us and giving us and all that, so that we are well secured. So by the time the wind of deception, the serious wind, begins to blow, we are grounded. We have a solid foundation in the word of God. We have a solid foundation with our relationship with Christ. We have a solid, you know, we are solid. and the wind cannot blow us away. But if we don't secure ourselves now, ahead of knowing what is ahead of us, based on Bible prophecy, what Jesus told us would come, then we are deceiving ourselves. Because if we think we will just be shallow in the word, we'll just be shallow Christians, and we'll be fine. When the deception comes, we'll survive it. Let's be reminded. It says many, many, many. The key word, many, is one of the most serious words I find in the Bible when Jesus used it in some instances. Many. Many. If many will be deceived, then it means if you misbehave, if you lose your guard, if you don't watch, if you don't pray, if you don't get solid in the word, if you don't get grounded in the word, you will be among the many. In the casualty list, you will be among. Oh yes. So that's how serious it is. That's why we cannot just ignore these things and take it lightly. Alright, so we thank God so soon, 9 o'clock, and I think we can end it here. This Raben says that my phone, great lessons learned very, very well. Okay. Okay, so good night and God bless you. This is recorded to be on spiritissues.info and the Telegram group to have uploaded there. Thank you for listening and God bless you.
Great content, rich, positive music from the Ashanti Kingdom through the internet at www.spiritfmonline.com. To all parts of Africa, Europe, Asia, Antarctica, Middle East, and the Americas. Spirit FM, positive soul music.
You're listening to the new Spirit FM, Christian hit music.
At this moment, with the assembly now, they say DHI College of Health and Education, you're calling new level. I hear dispensing technician program. A bit to me, lead you. No, I hire higher programs. I would only need Navy. I say, you're early grade education program.